Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. We welcome you on this fourth Sunday of Easter, often called Good Shepherd Sunday. In the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus talks about being the gate, about being the shepherd. It's hard for us in these modern times, particularly those of us who live in more urban environments, to have much connection with the symbol of Jesus as shepherd. We probably connect a little bit better with Jesus' image of being the gate. We live with gates all of the time. For those of us in especially urban Honolulu, we know all about gated communities and about buildings which are gated. Not long ago, this being the COVID-19 brain world, I was watching one Adam 12. Remember Adam 12, Don't Judge? Adam 12, old television show. They're based out of LA, and in one of the scenes, they're going to an apartment complex. They walk right through the front door, right up to the apartment. And it didn't occur to me for a few minutes how strange that seemed to me. There was no gate, no call button. They just walked in. That may be a good metaphor for Jesus' image of the gate. So often when we hear Jesus as the gate on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I think what may go through our head is Jesus as the gatekeeper. Jesus as the one who decides who is in and who is out, who is saved and who is not. And in some cases, then, our role becomes to be worthy of being let in. Sort of like those wonderful old jokes about the questions that St. Peter asks when you arrive at the pearly gates. Or maybe our role, if we're particularly pious and religious, is to help God define who should be let in by the gatekeeper. Sometimes we want to define the qualifications for entry into the good place. In some ways, we at best might treat this gospel sort of like a holy game of The Price is Right. I remember watching that show when I was younger. It's still on today. But I watched that show, and at the very end, they would do the sweepstakes at the end with the great grand prize. And the people who had already won would come together, and then they would have to choose. Do you want door number one, door number two, or door number three? Do you want Jesus? Do you want Moses? Do you want Allah? And I remember I would always scream, door number two! It's always door number two! But that's not what Jesus is saying in this gospel. Jesus is not the gatekeeper. He is the gate. Jesus is the gate, he says. And his life and his death and his ministry are more tuned to the inclusiveness and the expansion of the realm of God than for locking people out. You see, that gate, that shepherd called Jesus, seems to swing open more often than it swings closed, and when it swings open, it reveals the vast goodness and mercy of God's grace. Grace that is revealed in this thing called abundant life. But abundant life is not something that we choose or develop or even nurture, at least not in this gospel. Abundant life chooses us. God chooses us for that abundant life in the person of Jesus Christ. To be sure, we can choose other kinds of life. We can choose other doors beside door number two. But does it really lead to the abundant life that Christ speaks of? Earlier this week, I was in a conversation about the fact that despite our faltering economy, there are a few businesses and a few people making a lot of money. I read in an article that Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, has increased his wealth by $25 billion since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And for some people, they might describe that as pretty abundant life. But in a conversation with a friend of mine as we were talking about this, he said, I once had a friend that I hung around with quite a bit, and he was terribly, terribly wealthy. And I would not want his life. And I said, well, why not? And he said, everywhere he goes, there is an entourage. He has to have bodyguards for himself and for his family. He is never alone and never comfortable. To me, my friend said, it seemed a misery. So maybe the abundant life that Jesus talks about is not one where we have lots of money or lots of comfort. Maybe that abundant life is not exactly what we think it might be. Abundant life might be something else. I've seen evidence of this abundant life even in these days of difficulty. When I read this text, I thought, gosh, what does abundant life look like in the middle of a pandemic where literally millions of people will die? What does it look like when we know that the result of the pandemic, at least at one level in many parts of our world, will be utter starvation as food supply chains are interrupted? As the normal flow of business and food production cease, what will abundant life look like? We've seen bits of it here, even in Honolulu. We've seen strangers care for one another for apparently no reason at all. Organizations and businesses have banded together to bring food to those who are hungry. And there is hunger. We have seen our healthcare workers continue to bring life, not just by plain old healthcare, but by giving fully of themselves. The other night as we sat outside, suddenly people began to bang on pots. We were down at the harbor just trying to get some peace. And they began to bang on pots and scream, and boat horns were going. And I looked at Jeannie and I said, oh dear, it's Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock. Abundant life is giving thanks for those who are giving their lives to take care for us. Abundant life is not about what we have or what we will have, about our comfort or about our future. It is about living in the generosity of God and in God's grace. And that is what the gate leads to. That is where the shepherd leads us. Maybe abundant life is really about the generosity of giving. What will that look like, that abundant life in the midst of the COVID pandemic? How about opportunities to share with one another? What about developing new ways of worship and connecting as God's people? What about abundant life as opportunities for prayer in ways that we never expected before? Recently, some folks here at LCH have begun to participate in a calling tree. And the few people that I've been able to get to do that have been astonished at the joy and abundant life that they have received as they connect with their neighbors. Maybe our joy will be in finding abundant life that is unfolding before us through Jesus Christ, even in the midst of chaos. Over the next several months, we will begin to open our eyes anew to what God is doing even now in the midst of the pandemic. I bring you abundant life, Jesus says. It is a gift. It is God's grace. And nothing can separate us from that grace. For it is God's gift of abundant life that seeks us out and finds us and calls us home. I am the gatekeeper. I am the shepherd, Jesus says. I am love. Amen.